Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult. And that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello there, the podcast is brought to you by Levi Solicitors, who will give you 10% off your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. My name's Dan Moylan, hello to you. With me, Michael Normanson.
Hello.
And Moscow White, Daniel Chapman.
Hello.
A quick reminder that you can get hold of TSB Plus if you're not yet subscribed, which will give you every magazine digitally that we've done since 2009. All these podcasts add free priority access to the match ball for our... Well, it's going to be the title-winning season next season, isn't it? So you're not going to want to miss out on that. Daily email with all the essential Leeds United news, discounts on our merch, all of it at thesquareball.net/plus. Straight into the goings-on at Elland Road, and the big one was the Stuart Dallas of the Year Awards there on Sunday night after the West Brom game. No surprises then that he won just about everything. Did he win Young Player of the Year as well? If not, he should do.
I did notice, actually, he can hold 3 awards at once, can Stuart Dallas, whereas you, Dan, can't even hold one. But well-deserved. Did we all vote for Stuart Dallas? Did we vote at all?
I didn't vote, no. I missed all the actual voting, but I enjoyed the show.
I wasn't even aware we could vote.
Okay, well, I voted for Stuart Dallas.
Anyway, but congratulations to him anyway. And I would like to say, in mitigation, when I did drop our first FSA award, which was glass, and they didn't make them glass from any more years after that, I like to think I was responsible for that. So I helped them evolve their offering. It was about 2 a.m, and we'd probably drunk a lot more than Stuart Dallas and all the squad combined by the time that came around.
I think it was close. He did his first appearance on the Green Room show with the F2 and Bex. He declared himself tipsy. And then when he was back again about 2 hours later with even more trophies, I think he was quite tired and emotional.
But given that those lads are, what, they're hovering around the 75 to 80 kilogram mark, I imagine it probably took half a sip of shandy to get them going. I mean, we saw Rafinha's barriers come down, didn't we? He was having a nice laugh and a joke telling Stuart to speak in Spanish, or was it the other way around?
Yeah, there was all sorts of cross talk going on at that point. And the second talk around, I mean, everybody, I think, has seen the clip of Stuart Dallas trying to do his big kind of emotional speech that, you know, Pablo and Gaetano were leaving and they're not just teammates, but they're friends. And then I think...
And Alioski.
Well, and I think that's been taken as by some websites as Dallas drops hint that he's leaving. I think he just didn't want to leave him out in case he was going. He was like, oh, I don't want to leave Alioski out. But yeah, and it was Rodrigo's response to that was to just shout, oh, boo-hoo-hoo, over him while Rafinha laughed in his face. And then over on the right of the screen, it's harder to notice, but Ayling was just quietly balancing his bottle of beer on Jermaine Beckford's head.
Hashtag lads.
Beckford then took it off him. And I don't think Beckford drinks, because he's a vegan now, and I think he's very health conscious. So he kind of pretended to drink it. Then Liam Cooper took it off him and did drink it, and then it somehow ended up with Rafinha, whose other great disappointment was one of the backstage people's real priorities was getting a bucket of beers that Stuart Dallas had brought in out of shots. I think, I'm not sure if it was because they were...
Somebody scuttled in from off camera, didn't they?
I'm not sure if it was because they were branded and there were sponsorship issues with Tiger Beer, which isn't a patch on North Brewing. But Rafinha's face when the beer was being taken away was an absolute picture. It was all... Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It's funny. I'm not surprised, though, that you didn't vote for Stuart Dallas in this, because he's in an odd position now where he's player of the year, player's player of the year, goal of the season. Everybody thinks he's absolutely brilliant. He's asserted himself in the Premier League, in midfield and at left back, the two positions where we are adamant we have to get much better players for next season. Your whole, every ounce of your love for Rodrigo de Paul is like spitting in the face of Stuart Dallas's performances in midfield this season.
I love Stuart Dallas more than Rodrigo de Paul. Rodrigo de Paul is just that. It's window shopping, isn't it? It's a fantasy relationship. Whereas Stuart Dallas actually fulfills all my needs.
He's real, isn't he? He's real and he's doing the washing up. He's just great to live with. He's great at cooking, keeps the garden nice, great with the kids.
That's not a euphemism, by the way.
No, well, no. We're not sponsored by Manscaped, are we? I know a lot of podcasts are. Yeah, I mean, he fully deserves it, doesn't he? He's overrated now. He
deserves to be replaced.
Yes, he does.
Because it is genuinely, I'm intrigued how he goes next season.
We're supplementing his talents. That's what we're doing. We're not replacing him.
If you say so. I'm not, I'm not making any critical point. I'm just very intrigued how we deal with the fact that our player of the season, and it's probably a good thing for the growth of the club, is going to struggle to get into the team next season if we strengthen in the positions that we're expecting to strengthen.
Luckily for Stuart Dallas, there is absolutely no precedent of someone winning player of the season by a mile and then completely dropping out of the team, is there?
He's not quite as old as Pablo Hernandez, is he?
No. Just thinking about sponsorship deals, and you mentioned Rafinha drinking there. I've just joined a few mental dots in my head. And I just want to say now, if Rafinha is listening to this, and I imagine he does, and if not him, Deco as his agent, why doesn't Rafinha have a sponsorship deal for a brand of Caipirinha, which is the Brazilian drink, isn't it?
Is it? Can you brand a cocktail, though? I don't know. It'd be one of those.
I'm just seeing the advert. Rafinha loves Caipirinha. And I am prepared to negotiate that deal for just a mere 10%.
You could pitch it to children.
Go on, sell the idea to me.
Well, you know, he's very popular with young Leeds fans. Get them all on cocktails.
Okay.
Very sugary ones too. So not only can you rot your liver, can rot your teeth at the same time.
It's an unexploited market. Lots of adults drink, but not many children do.
Alco Pops for kids. So they could even take the alcohol out of them and just call them Pops. Come on. Kids Caipirinha. If you want to get in touch, Angus Kinnear and Associated Commercial Department, we are ready to negotiate. Other stuff from the awards, Young Player of the Year, Ilan Meslier, wearing his Burberry shirt, showing that money that can't necessarily buy taste. I'm joking, Burberry's fine.
Supporting a local business, isn't he? Burberry, is it Castleford they make Burberry or somewhere? It's somewhere local, isn't it?
They did have designs on Temple Works, didn't they? But unfortunately, not anymore.
I think it's one of those buildings everyone looks at and goes, oh, that'd be brilliant, and then go, oh shit, it's actually falling apart and be really expensive. But no, he was always going to win that, wasn't he? I think it was probably even more of an obvious case that he was going to win that than Stuart Dallas would have been player of the year.
Although, did you notice that it wasn't Ilan Meslier who won it on screen? It did say Ilan Meslier. Spelt his name wrong.
Fucking amateurs.
But yeah, fully deserved, absolutely brilliant. And I think actually, the most prominent one there that goes under the radar somewhat, Rob Price, for taking us through the coronavirus pandemic. You mentioned this earlier, Moscow. Was it on mic or off mic? I can't remember.
It was on the propaganda.
Yeah, and he's done an absolutely fantastic job. I mean, let's not forget they got ahead of the curve with the pandemic by ordering in the machines and stuff like that for the players and just knowing what was coming, the foresight to do that. Huge credit to him.
Got 80 minutes out of Adam Forshaw in an under-23s game as well. He's obviously, he can work miracles, this man.
Before stripping him for parts. Bless him. It will be nice to see Forshaw back next year. I guess we've kind of forgotten about him in all the frivolity towards the end of the year.
I mean, like Mosko said, he did make that comeback, didn't he? And he looked all right in it as well. He seemed to be very Adam Forshaw-y, doing the normal sort of stuff that we last saw him doing, however many years ago that was.
And you'll get the odd muscle pull as you're coming back from a long injury like that. I don't think the fact that he hurt himself at the end of that under-23s game was a big deal. I think he maybe just stayed on a couple of minutes too long. So there is still hope that if we can do a pre-season, he'll be useful next year.
Rob Price had a good video as well. It's worth saying. He got Kimar Roof was on it, and then he had Snoddy popped up as well and Rafa Benitez on it. So that was good. Star-studded.
Congratulations as well to Abby Brown, who won Women's Player of the Year and the Under-23s for the Special Achievement Award. I mean, speaking of the kids' Alco Pops.
Get the Under-23s involved.
Yeah, there we go. Little Joffy Gale Hart necking blue WKD, no doubt, and so on and so forth.
The video for Abby Brown was quite nice as well, because it was making the point that, unlike the men's team, the women's team have basically not been able to play for the vast majority of this, because they're not at the elite level of women's football where they get to still play. So she was being praised for like putting on fitness sessions via Zoom and all this sort of stuff. So they've been very, very distant throughout most of this. So
yeah, they've had a really a weird season where it's essentially been an entire season over Zoom. With they've played a couple of friendlies at the end of it since the lockdown lifted and they cancelled the season. But yeah, hoping for they'll actually be able to play some games of football next year would be good for them, because they are doing it for love. It's all part time for them. So actually getting something back for the training effort that they're putting in would be deserved.
The show as a whole, by the way, you know, those lads who hosted it, I know we speak directly to Gen Z. It's one of those topics we've tapped into a lot in the latter half of the season. Cool kids as we are. The F2 lads, obviously I know who they are, but some people might not. Just looking at my laptop keyboard actually right now, F2 is the screen brightness up button on my laptop. So is that what their name is from? Are they a tribute to screen brightness?
On mine, it's, what is it? It's aeroplane mode on mine. So it must mean different things to different people, I guess. Bosco, you're on TikTok. What do these lads do?
They do keepy-ups and that, and skills. Mad skills. They're street footballers. One of them, I think he's either called Swazzy or he says it a lot. I can't remember which, but he was a youth player at Arsenal, and the big problem everybody has with him is that he reckons he was told he was the most skillful player at Arsenal during the Invincibles season, which does make me, there are a few good players around. There is synergy here, though. A lot of people were confused as to what the hell they were part of our awards for, but their little YouTube channel is part of the Team Whistle crew,
which
was recently bought.
TWC, as I call them.
It was recently bought by Ace Adventures. So Andrea Radrizzani essentially owns them. And so there was a lot of that during the day, like Ellie Goulding being...
Does he own Ellie Goulding?
Well, she...
Is he getting into human trafficking?
She performed on Live Now, his channel, which was broadcasting both. There was a pre-game and post-game show that I keep meaning to go back and have a look at, because apparently they had some stuff in the changing rooms with Berardi after the game, and they also had some very awkward interviews with Ellie Goulding and on, next to the pitch, and interviewed Pete Lowy, our new billionaire part owner.
Comedian.
But it was a very much a Andrea Radrizzani production, which is good in a way. I was thinking about it as I was walking down, because it, on the one hand, it feels very modern and strange and, you know, trying to understand why a couple of Keepy Up kids presenting this and what celebrities and pop stars are doing all over it. Doesn't feel very traditional football, but at least it is kind of peripheral and it's happening around our matches rather than the Super League proposals, where it's Agnelli and Perez's ideas for kind of, you have to change the game to bring in a modern crowd.
I am reminded of the time that Leeds United booked Stan Boardman for a Christmas party as well.
Yeah, I'd written down the words Jim Davidson ? Actually, because I couldn't remember which slightly controversial comedian it was, but Stan Boardman, probably not quite as controversial as Davidson, but even still.
And even back in that era when Peter Ridsdale was kind of diversifying the Leeds United brand, he went straight for a credit card company. That was it. It was Leeds United Financial Services.
The Formula One team as well.
The thing. And yeah,
the credit card company actually couldn't have been any more appropriate, could it, when you think about it? Yeah. Just racking up debts on somebody else's tick.
It very much said where Ridsdale's mind was at, and the travel agency as well, which did kind of sync with Leeds fans going to European games. But it's interesting to try and understand. There's another media company that Ace Adventures have hoovered up this morning, and Radrizzani seems to be building himself into this kind of alternative, not alternative to Leeds United, but his entire world is, rather than waking up in the morning and it's, how does my credit card company maximize profit on somebody's debt or whatever, it's, how can I shoehorn Calvin Phillips into Dua Lipa's live show that's going to be going out on my channel, and how can I get Ellie Goulding onto a TV show around the Leeds United game that's happening that afternoon. And it seems like a much more pleasant way to be working. That sounds like a much more fun job than some of the alternatives when people are empire building, as Andrea seems to be. The only shame of it really is that the F2 kids had absolutely no idea how to present a fucking television program and they're obviously very good at football. Respect, let's put the positive on it. Jermaine Beckford was the permanent guest. The way it was set up, if anybody didn't see it, these two lads from F2 and Jermaine Beckford were in a room all night, and they would bring in the award winners, and they had a Zoom panel with some fans, and they had Lucas Radebe and Don Matteo on there. And it was Jermaine Beckford was the one who was kind of like looking at these two lads. Like, there was like trying to get silent messages across of like, you've not spoken to Don Matteo for like 10 minutes.
And he's bored, lads.
And he'd like give them the eyes, and then he'd just say, I think maybe we should talk to one of the fans on the Zoom. And these F2 lads, the best they could then go is they'd go, oh, it's a good idea, Jermaine. And then they'd turn to it and they'd go, Dom, have you anything to add? That's not really a question, but that was pretty much the only question they ever came up with. Whereas Jermaine Beckford strikes me as one of these people who, if you put him in a room with somebody doing something and they do it twice, he'll then have an idea how to do it. He picks things up and he seems quite adept. And I think if you had ditched those two and you just had Jermaine Beckford there and Stuart Dallas comes in with his awards, Jermaine had the knowledge of what they've been doing all season and the ability to frame a question and ask it and to keep things moving and realise when things had run the course. He could have presented that very well on his own. So credit to Jermaine. But yeah, he was still quite pleasantly amateurish around the edges, not only in the gate crashing from all the players coming in as well, but the way that they'd set up this little seating area next to double doors that looked like they were on the route from the main room to the ladies' toilets. And as the evening went on, there was like more and more girls just going back and forth and just like staggering around from the toilets and getting more and more drunk.
And there's Ellie Goulding coming back from the toilet. Oh, she's tucked her skirts into her knickers and she's hoiking them out. There we go.
They just needed to move the camera just a little bit to the right and just cut all of that out. But it's just still just like it had the right element of fun in that regard.
Any sign of Tenors Unlimited at the end of season bash?
No, there was also not a suckling pig with a pineapple shoved up its ass, which was one of the great gifts that Ken Bates brought to this football club.
So bad news for Tenors Unlimited fans. I do have some good news on that front, though, because they are appearing soon on Saturday the 4th of September at the Great Yorkshire Proms at Harewood House alongside Alad Jones and associated others. So you can see Tenors Unlimited still.
Any word on the Peter Kay tribute act? That's the other one that was always on in the pavilion. Oh, well, I think it's been put to better use now, isn't it, the pavilion? It's doing some good work in there.
Great bunch of lads doing the jabs. We have Marcelo Bielsa's contract now to sort out for next season. When we spoke to Angus Kinnear on the Phil Hayes show, Michael, he didn't seem particularly fazed by it at all, did he? Like, it was just a matter of dotting I's and crossing T's and it would all be done and dusted. And it may well be done and dusted and announced by the time this comes out. Who knows?
He told us off the record it was all signed. No, he didn't.
He definitely didn't.
But equally, yeah, like you say, he didn't seem concerned, did he? And he was. They're obviously talking about stuff for next season, aren't they? So I'm not worried. I know it's going to be a big media thing until it actually happens, because it's something to fill 10 minutes on TalkSport, isn't it?
And the general vibe is as well. It's about stuff like other changes to the training grounds. Nothing that's like he's not falling out over transfer policy or anything like that, is it? We just want to get all these things done. That change, that done, ready for next season. And then away we go.
Phil Hay made the point about it. He wrote about it last year when it took. If you remember, he only confirmed he was staying in the press conference before the Liverpool game. That's how fine it took for actually getting ink on the paperwork. But one of the things is all the contracts have to be translated into Spanish or from Spanish into English.
Can't believe he doesn't speak legal English yet. I'm sick of it.
His brother handles a lot of the paperwork, because his brother is a lawyer, but also I think last summer Bielsa was handling it himself because of the communication difficulties with the coronavirus. And it's not only his terms, but he is the front person for all his staff. So how they all get paid with and or paid for. And then it's not a case of the Sam Allardyce thing of turning up and saying, how much are you going to pay me and how much holiday do I get? It'll be down to what players are we signing, what changes at the training ground, what physio is doing, what everybody's work plans. It's 12 months of work that they're agreeing, and that's why it takes the time. I'm sure if it was down to just, well, it's exactly how it was in the first summer when we signed him, when Bielsa spent 2 minutes talking about his wages and 6 weeks talking about all the things that were going to have to happen for him to do the job. So that's where we're at. And we've been through it every summer since. and we'll hopefully go through it many, many more summers to come, and we'll just have to tune out Chris Sutton, where he's going, well, Tottenham, we'll be coming in.
My sources tell me.
Yeah, you're there.
Christ.
You know, he'll have impressed a lot of people at some big clubs, won't he, with his work this season. If Barcelona come knocking, can you really see him turning them down?
Yes. Yes, I can, Chris. You fuckwit. Well, as the 2021 season draws to a close, we thank you for listening to this show and to The Athletic as well. We're not quite done yet. We've got a show with Victor Orta this week, catching up with Leeds United's director of football. I've got a million things I want to ask him. At least 900,000 of them relate to Rodrigo De Paul, but we'll see about that one, hey?
I've been too busy bolting the furniture down, just on the off chance that something kicks off.
So we look forward to hearing from him on the podcast later this week, and catching up with, was it Oliver Kay who did the match report for the game at the weekend? That's on there, plus loads of other Leeds United content. And if you want to subscribe to that, theathletic.com/thesquareball. That's theathletic.com/thesquareball, and find out what the latest discount is on there. There's something refreshing about seeing a gentleman called Massimo on the board at Leeds United. It's a nice throwback to the chaos that went before, and a reminder that things are all right. Do you think he's the most high profile of those to join the board?
Does he know any jokes?
And you're ignoring my favourite, Sandro Mincucci, is he called? Great bunch of lads, all of them. Yeah, Massimo and Sandro are both Red Rosani men, aren't they, from his other company.
Which one of them used to be the majority owner of Fiorentina? Is that Sandro or Massimo?
I think everybody's just distracted and looking at Peter Lowy, aren't they?
shiny thing.
We'll deal with Andrea's mates when the time comes. At the moment, there's a billionaire has suddenly popped up.
Which is your favourite Westfield shopping centre? For me, it's Broadway in Bradford.
The Bradford one's a real treat. It's better than when it was a hole, anyway, it was for about a decade.
Well, I like to think that decade-long hole they left in the centre of Bradford was a fine tribute to the city of Leeds. Really, if Peter was a massive Leeds fan, what better thing to do than to really fuck over the town next to it for a decade?
I mean, Bradford didn't need necessarily much help in that regard either, did it? But it's built now, and that's the main thing. And they are phenomenally rich. It's his family that is rich. I mean, I'm sure he's doing fine, but his family are worth about $6.5 billion, which is a lot.
Is that Australian dollars, though?
That's US dollars.
It's proper dollars.
It's proper dollars. I did convert it because I did see both used in various articles. So that is the US version.
How many billions have you got in US and or Australian dollars?
I think I've got, is it baht you can get? I could probably be a millionaire in that. The Vietnamese one, that's probably my best bet for it. But we've got a long-standing link with, well, I say it's a link, an almost link with the Lowy family, haven't we? Because they were rumoured to be buying it from Ken Bates back in 2010. Although I think Ken Bates managed to criticise everyone enough that they eventually just pissed off and got bored with him.
I think it was specifically about the Lowy interests that he said, like, everybody who, all these stories, they come, but then you say name and proof of funds and they disappear. Because Lowy and $6.5 billion is not enough for Ken Bates. Well, prove it.
I've got loads of shopping centres. They're worth a bit, aren't they?
They're not a market, is it? I don't know. I get the feeling the interest was probably there. There was loads of people tried to buy off Ken Bates, didn't they? But you just wouldn't fucking deal with him because he was a nightmare, wasn't he? You have to wait. And it seems the thing about the way Leeds is kind of developing now is it seems like almost, it's hard to tell what the interest is from everybody. Lowy seems a little bit on the Chad Hurley vibe, the guy who invented YouTube and now owns a bit of Leeds through the 49ers, where it's like, it's fun. He's not bought us outright. He does seem to be one of the, well, we don't know how much even of the 49ers investment he has. It's obviously enough for him to get on the board, but even that could be that it's just, he said, I'd really like to be on the board. Can I be, please? And they've said, well, yeah.
Buy us Rodrigo De Paul, and yes, you can.
Well, it's also his experience in retail and property development and all that kind of stuff could be useful when we're talking about the stadium redevelopment and the land behind it, the graphics that have sometimes been shown of like a potential future Elland Road when the club have been showing those off over the last few years to show. Mainly they put the community hub that's being built at the moment on Fullerton Park in the foreground. And sometimes on some versions, there are these vague tower blocks over towards Blowfields Road. So there is land around.
That's where the industrial units are at the minute, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there's things for somebody to be interested in around that. But it seems more of the vibe is, whereas under Ken Bates, it was, you have to take this over and really work hard to make it good. Andrea Ratrizzani has kind of done all that. And now the 49ers part is, who wants to come and have a laugh and put some money in and it'll be fun and we get to enjoy owning a football club. And I think that's kind of what is attracting Lowy, who if his interview on the with Jermaine Beckford asking the proper questions on the award show is kind of to be believed, and there's no reason why it shouldn't be, and I get the feeling we'll probably be hearing his anecdotes about it quite a lot. He was talking about first discovering Leeds United in the 1970s, and he said he couldn't even watch them though, because he was talking about listening to Match of the Day. So he used to listen to it on shortwave radio, but something about the way that the Leeds games were commentated on attracted his interest. And then since then, he's always followed Leeds. And
a Jacob Burns fan.
Well, he was admiring the Legends scene that came out for the centenary, was behind them on the wall, and he was looking at Mark Viduka up there. And he didn't seem like he just got interested in Leeds United last week. I think there is a genuine long-term support for the club. And now it's these connections then grow through the 49ers. If he hears that the 49ers are investing in Leeds United and his mates with Parag and Jed, and then he can say, oh, well, I'd love to be involved in that. Can I put some money in? It seems to be that kind of vibe. Whereas back in the day with Ken Bates, it was much more serious. It was full takeover. Everything has to be, you know, it's work. Whereas he can just show up, do his jokes, put a bit of money in, do a bit of work.
Can I just say, I think his jokes are very, very funny. Don't you? They're excellent jokes, and he should do more jokes.
Well, even down to his nom de plume, his stand-up comedian identity. I don't know how familiar, if everybody's picked up on this news, but he does have an alternative life as a stand-up comedian and a YouTube comedian he calls himself Peter Drysdale, which, if that's not a Peter Ridsdale reference, I don't know what the hell else it can be. It must be some kind of nod to Peter Ridsdale. It's not exactly hilarious.
It is, Moscow. Bloody is.
I mean, I watched one of the videos and I was the first person to watch it. It said no views. I've never seen that on YouTube before. It said
really?
No views until I clicked on it.
It's hard to find, is that, isn't it? It's like Dave Gorman when he was doing the, what was it? Google whacking, that was it. Yeah. We had to find something that was, how many was it? Just one result or something?
Yeah. But he's got 23 subscribers to his YouTube channel, which is...
Good lad.
A good start.
It is a good start. And if he keeps plugging away, he might get more, which is good of him.
His shopping centres are excellent.
Well, I was just going to say, actually, talking about Bates in the context of all this and joining up all those dots, we might eventually get our East Stand shopping mall, which will make Ken on the Monaco coast maybe nodding knowingly. I always thought that's exactly the way it should go.
I mean, he does seem quite a relaxed fellow about this. I get the feeling his stand-up comic stuff is kind of something that he does for his other rich mates, kind of like, it seemed like quite in-jokey that he would send it around his friends and like, I've done this.
Are you suggesting that he's not toured all the sticky carpeted horrible comedy clubs of Australia and maybe the UK to build himself both a following and an audience?
When you're born a billionaire, I guess you have a certain amount of freedom to do whatever the fuck you want, don't you? And he's just thought, I'll do this for a bit.
The jokes may not be, you know, excellent.
They're not top. We just want to say they are.
But the looking at the YouTube videos, they are an interesting insight into his mind in terms of the footage that he's selected. There's a lot of work has gone into kind of choosing whether it's stock footage or the clips that he's hunted down and how they match up with the references that he's making. And, you know, whether you laugh or not, humor is all a matter of taste, and some of it did raise a giggle, but it is interesting to get an insight into his mind. His mind looks like an interesting place.
Not as good as his bank account. One thing it does do, actually, though, the way that the 49ers have structured this, and who knows if they become majority owners in the end via that vehicle, it spreads the risk, doesn't it? If you think about Chad Hurley, who's obviously worth a few quid, and Lowry, who's obviously worth a lot of quid, to have them all there in this pool of investors. So if the club say, right, well, we need 50 million, let's say, for argument's sake, to supplement the transfer kitty, it's not a huge exposure for the 49ers, is it, as a whole? So let's say they own some of this fund, Lowry owns some of it, so does Chad, et cetera, then you're spreading the risk, is what I'm saying.
And it works very well until they start arguing like fuck. That's the real potential downside of having so many people interested. There's Nick Swinburne as well, and then there was the guy who hasn't even been announced, who was part of the first round of funding, whose name I now can't remember, but he popped up on a listing. It all seems very sort of collegiate and relaxed, and it is kind of like a lot of people at the golf club kind of going, you know, I'm investing in, you know, Leeds United. Oh, Pete, who plays here on Sundays, he's a massive Leeds fan. Oh, I never knew that. Right, well, we're investing. Oh, hey, could I be on the board? It's very nice like that. If it does come down to the point of who is paying for these terrible losses as we're plunging into League One, then there may be downsides to having so many conflicting... What might become conflicting interests. A boardroom wrangle is... the chances of a boardroom wrangle, as it always gets called, increase the more potential wranglers get involved. And that's the risk we have. But at the moment, everybody seems to be quite pleasant, relaxed, coming in for the right reasons, where it's not about extracting as much money as they can from the football club. We were talking before about Andrea Radrizzani and all this team whistle and F2 and live now stuff. If that's his way of making money, and none of that really is branded as a Leeds United thing. It's all, you don't look at live now and it doesn't say the channel from Leeds United. It's just, it's a separate entity, but he's using the things that Leeds United has to offer in terms of, you know, he doesn't have to go and convince Manchester City, let me do your pre-games. I can just put them on my own channel and he can make some, I mean, it was all put on for free, but if he ever wants to charge for that, that's a way of him making some money out of owning Leeds United that is very different from the ways of making money from owning Leeds United that previous owners have chosen to avail themselves of. And it's a much more, creating value for his other companies that also, it doesn't do Leeds United any harm if Calvin Phillips is popping up in a Dua Lipa video. And if the millions of people who watch Team Whistle stuff see Rafinha doing some kick-ups with these F2 lads at some point, and then they all go out and buy an Adidas Leeds shirt, all works very nicely, and it seems to be why these guys are all coming in.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
A mere drop in the ocean then for our millionaire, billionaire squad of owners. 1.6 million quid to rip up the pitch. That's started already. And finally, we should see the drainage issues addressed from, well, the installation, just to backpedal on this, was 1996 for Euro 96. And it sounds like the job they did then might not have been quite adequate enough for modern rain standards.
Is it really sad of me that I'm kind of looking forward to the time lapse of this? I really hope they're doing it so we can see it all being stripped back and you can see what's going into it, see the layers of the drainage going in, and then right to the day where it's a nice green pitch and the season's about to start. I don't know why I feel like that would excite me. Even when I watched the one about Aston Villa's pitch, I found it quite interesting. Went back when everyone was saying what a complete shit show our pitch was. Some people shared it and said, like, this is how you do a pitch now.
Villa's pitch, is it right? You know, like these modern pitches, it's 95% grass plus then 5% artificial fibres, isn't it, to tie it all together to stop it cutting up as much. Did it mention the 1% on Villa's pitch that was olive oil that makes everyone fall over?
I knew it was coming, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was telegraphed from a mile off that one.
But yeah, that's it's good that it is getting solid. Although the pitch, actually, it's been all right for a while now, hasn't it? I did notice it was almost like its farewell was Conor Gallagher falling on his ass when he was about to shoot at the weekend. That was like its last slip of the season. It's done all right for us, hasn't it?
It has, and presumably they'll be taking up that top layer of turf and rolling it and keeping it to one side as a spare, because we paid 300 grand for that. Go off somewhere else, grow that one while the new one's being grown, and we've got two pitches like Tottenham. Maybe we could sell it to somebody else who's got a desperately slippy pitch in the future.
It's like anything, you just roll it up and put it on a high shelf until you forget about it.
So what's all that? Oh, bollocks.
We'll be on the roof of the West Stand, and then when they go to demolish that in a few years, all this grass up here.
The Levi Stadium is... It does have that, doesn't it? It's got the...
It's got a meadow in the sky.
A meadow in the sky, and don't they get like vegetables for the bloody kitchens and stuff?
Yeah,
like?
It's got a kitchen garden, yeah, so they grow herbs, as the Americans would call them, up there.
Can you imagine Ken Bates having a vegetable patch on the roof? Who gets the fruit? Not giving it to children.
Going up there with a flamethrower and burning it just so it doesn't have to be given away.
Pouring diesel on the whole thing.
They'd probably be employing children to go and farm it, wouldn't he? You want some potatoes? Go up that ladder. All the potatoes you want. And you get up there, there's no potatoes.
Calvin Phillips, we mentioned him a few minutes ago. Get up, Calvin, get up. But he is up and treating his shoulder injury conservatively. My only slight fear with this is they've...
But Pat Bamford's doing his... looking after him, treating it conservatively.
It happened over...
It's a joke about...
It happened over on the right wing, didn't it, as well? There you go. Yeah, they're doing this to get him to the Euros and he might need an operation in the future. That's my little fear.
I did wonder if he's made the club put out a statement, because it's like, get me in this England squad, please. Don't show any weakness on this. It's like, I know the last thing Gareth Southgate will have seen of me will be me barely able to walk because of the excruciating pain emanating from my shoulder, but just put out a thing saying I'm fine and then he'll get me in and it'll be too late by then and I'll already be out the Euros.
I've not watched it back, but I'm sure he went cross-eyed when he was when it first happened. He sort of sat up and it looked like he sort of, his eyes went and he just rolled backwards. Again, we're quite close to live blogging. No, this isn't a blog, is it? What are we doing here? We're podcasting. Live streaming the Gareth Southgate's big announcement. It is, here's an insight, listeners, it's 9 minutes to 1 on Tuesday the 25th of May. But I think we know, it's not actually, the question isn't about Calvin being in this squad, because Gareth Southgate is specifically making his squad bigger so that Calvin can be in it, which is maybe a tribute to his new standing in the England team. I think he started all the World Cup qualifiers recently, hasn't he? And I don't think there's any reason why he wouldn't be starting in the European Championships. And if Gareth Southgate is increasing the size of his squad just so that he can say Calvin Phillips has got a chance of making it, you know, you wouldn't do that for, well, he's not probably not doing it for Pat. If Pat Bamford had done
it,
the same thing. Yeah. And he has something at stake there, because Ben White's going to be in it.
Yeah, his best mate, his buddy movie can be recreated.
Well, Pat, not so long ago, before we played Brighton on his on the Pat Bamford show, came out with the statement that if Ben White had stayed at Leeds, he'd probably be in the England squad by now.
I've just put on the BBC website to awaiting the announcement, and they have a get involved bit at the top. Mm. The top comment on there is, guess who someone is putting forward as a name for the England squad?
Stuart Dallas.
Think Gareth should really look at players in form rather than youth talent. I'd like to see Craig Dawson given a chance.
Who does he play for?
West Ham, isn't it?
What does he do?
Centre-backing.
Right.
He's like an old school. Maybe he's a decent defender.
Can I just ask, is that a West Ham fan who's putting that forward?
I would imagine so, yes.
Okay. And congratulations to Ben White as well, if assuming he does make the cut. Will we know then, over the course of this show, who has made it? Is the announcement at 1 o'clock?
Well, unless we wrap this up in 7 minutes.
Well, I don't know what time the announcement's coming, because I don't care that
1
much.
O'clock.
Right. All right, so we'll update that in a bit and just say, otherwise, in the Euros, who else are we losing to the tournament? We've got Click going for Poland, straight off his holidays. Click and Cock and Alioski. And Llorente is in, Rodrigo isn't. Feel sorry for him, but just unfortunate timing, isn't it, off the back of his injury and loss of form and all that.
And he's come right back into form. He's also been nominated for Premier League Player of the Month. So I don't know. Haven't they? Is Sergio Ramos in the squad?
No, he's not. No Real Madrid players are.
So they're just leaving out all the good players. I mean, I've no particular love for Ramos, but you've got to respect the commitment to being an absolute dickhead that he's displayed over the last 20 years. It feels like I can't remember Sergio Ramos becoming a player. It feels like he's just always been there, and you always just watch a game and he's always doing something that you think you've got to send him off for that, but he's somehow just got that angelic innocent face. So yeah, a Euros without Ramos is a strange one, but a Euros with Tyler Roberts, worth watching.
Managed by Ryan Gitona. Under 21s as well, Albin Lafont. He's Le Normal France. What's under in French?
Sir, le 21.
Sir,
le 21.
Sir, 21. Exactly. I'll edit that to make us all sound less stupid than we are.
Sir, le Blackjack.
Goalkeeper is involved in a relegation playoff with Nantes, meaning that Melier is likely to play for the under 21s of France.
And stay there, surely. Once he gets in that team, there'll be no displacing him, will there?
Hey, one of the scintillating questions from the F2 boys. I don't know their names. I just call them the F2 boys.
I think you know, so it's screen brightness. Screen and brightness. That's the two of them.
I think it was screen. It can't have been brightness when they had Melier on. One of his questions about winning the award was, "You've got a deep voice, haven't you?"
Wow. That's worse than the shit that we churn out. And we churn out some shit, let me tell you.
It really was spectacular. You see Jermaine Beckford's despairing face.
I was going to say, speaking of playoffs, nice to not be involved in those, isn't it? It's felt like one big, I don't know, observing these playoffs, it's been a little bit like PTSD, just watching them going, oh, I remember what it's like to be terrified and having to claw back a 2-goal deficit and all that. Just to look from the top of the mountain down to the scumbags scuffling on the foothills below, trying to get up. And not succeeding. Who do we want to come up?
Swansea?
No, Brentford.
Brentford, okay. How come?
Steve Cooper and Matt Grimes. Be serious. At least Pontus, you know, we've got some fond memories. It's been kind of funny to see him not managing to do it. And Thomas Frank is an absolute
pillar. Did you watch it?
Yeah.
In pointing his fucking watch. I would have been quite happy if someone had just punched him straight in the face every time he did that.
In the face? My big objection to him is chewing his chewing gum with his mouth open.
Okay, but have you seen Steve Cooper?
Yeah, he shouldn't.
He can't shut his mouth, though. It's not fair.
He breathes through it, doesn't he?
So, I can't. Yeah, and Matt Grimes is just, I don't want him ever to be a Premier League footballer purely to spite his mother. So that prevents it. So it is down to now just, let's get Pontus Janssen in the Premier League. Thomas Frank, I don't think will be there forever. Like Brentford's model is that everybody's kind of replaceable, won't they? So they'll just get some other random Scandinavian and he'll be gone.
The thing with Swansea is that you would expect them to be in the bottom third of the table if they come. You could say that with a degree of confidence, couldn't you, that at that stage they're going to be down there. What would you expect of Brentford? Because they feel a little bit more like a wild card to me. Would you expect them to be down there as well?
I think there's a fair chance they'd come up with a bit of swagger and confidence and then discover they're not that great, which would be quite nice.
I think that's what would happen. I think Brentford would be a hard relegation. Thomas Frank, his whole kind of attitude, you can picture him in doing his pre-match press conference about Liverpool, for example, and saying something really ridiculous about, you know, Jurgen Klopp will have to prove himself against my Brentford team if he wants to be remembered as one of the games.
That is a great example.
And then Liverpool will smash them 7-0 and it will be embarrassing. They weren't very good against Bournemouth. The first goal, the Bournemouth goal, when Brentford, they were saying Thomas Frank had prepared Brentford for this game by showing them the first 15 minutes of Liverpool's comeback against Barcelona in the Champions League. And that translated on the pitch to when they won a corner, all of Brentford's players except the goalkeeper went into Bournemouth's penalty area, so that when Bournemouth cleared, I can't remember the player's name, but he just got the ball on halfway, ran the rest of the pitch and shot and scored. And it's like, well, you fucked it up then, haven't you? And then it's only because there was a red card, really.
And a bit of a dodgy penalty as well. It was one of those where it is a handball, but it's very close in. They got pretty lucky.
So they needed a lot of help to get past Jonathan Woodgate's Bournemouth. I'm not convinced that they'll really have the strength to get past Marcelo Bielsa's Tottenham Hotspur in the Premier League.
Dickhead. One of the beautiful things, well, it's the opposite of beautiful, isn't it? Because it's talking about Cooper. One of the positives to take out of this playoff final is that one of the two managers is going to be upset, and that'll be fun. So rather than thinking, oh, we've got to deal with that knobhead next season, think about the knobhead you don't have to deal with.
It is true. It's hard to lose on it, isn't it, to an extent. The whole day I found stressful, even though we're not involved. Watching the Sunderland game, I felt like I knew where that was going as well, because they started so well and they got it back to 2-2 in the tie. And it just that second half started and you thought, this feels familiar. This thing of almost getting there, and it just goes, just something is going to go wrong. And they even had a bit where it looked like it was going to, they then saved a penalty and you thought, well, maybe it is going to be all right. It's not going to be all right.
And Lee Johnson came up a little short, didn't he?
He did. So they're into their fourth year of League One now.
Can we hear?
Which is even longer than we did.
Can we hear from Lee Johnson? Is that a possibility?
He's all middle management speak, isn't he, Lee Johnson? He'll be talking about regrouping for next season.
Well, if you've got his number, then let's hear from him.
I mean, I brought that big screen up here all the way from Bristol. Didn't tell anybody at Bristol that I was borrowing it. And I showed my tactics to the Sunderland players on there. But the lads just, they didn't seem to get the message today. But look, you know, it was great to have the fans back. And we'll go again next season and see what we can achieve together.
I know we were all a little bit annoyed, you know, Calvin Phillips, you know, when he went down in the last minute of the West Brom game. Can we point a finger here? Is this Spurs' fault? Because it's on Spurs' pitch that he's gone over and injured himself.
Calvin looked to me like he was trying to stay on his feet when there was nothing he could do in the face of that ice rink that they provided.
Do you know what that strikes me as? Professional negligence, which is one of the areas that Levi solicitors cover off, who have been on board looking after us on the podcast all season. And thank you to them for being on board. It's been great fun, and we hope we haven't let you down too much when we've done these commercial reads. As always, you can get 10% off your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. And they do loads of stuff as well. If you're moving house, they will take care of all that side of things. There's wills and probate, conveyancing. Just have a look on their website and get your 10% discount for going through us. levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Breaking news. Oh, wow. This is fresh for the podcast. I mean, it'll be history by the time you hear it, but it's new to us. Go on then.
We have the provisional squad for the England men's senior team for the European Championships. And the strangest thing about it is that where it says that Jesse Lingard is one of the midfielders included, it gives his club as West Ham United. But then it says afterwards in brackets, on loan from Manchester United. And they've had to change the font size for that to fit it all in. So it looks really awkward compared to the rest of it.
That's really jarring.
Also, Bamford isn't going.
Right.
Which is an outrage.
Southgate out.
Calvin Phillips is there. Ben White is also there. I think looking at the balance of the squad, it says something about why they're so desperate to get Calvin Phillips in, because we have 7 midfielders named in the provisional squad, and I make it 35 right backs.
Every right back is in there.
Yeah, every right back in the Premier League has been named apart from Luke Ayling, which is another letdown. No place for Jackie Harrison either.
It's still going to get cut back further, this squad, isn't it? This is the 30-man squad, isn't it, which is going to have four players chopped out.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's like the X Factor, isn't it? You're going home. So are you and you. And then those four will spin off, make a group of their own, which will be wildly more successful than the original show.
And I imagine Ben White will be texting Bamford now to say, what was that about? If I play for Leeds, I play for England. Maybe Bamford should have signed for Brighton. And then it's annoying. It's a shame he hasn't got called up. I don't really see what Ollie Watkins has got to offer that Bamford does not.
Well, hopefully someone will pick up a serious injury in training and then Bamford can go.
We're just hoping for that career-ending injury for a forward.
Exactly.
Great. I mean,
if it's Harry Kane, it'd be quite funny because it'd stop Spurs selling him this year. So
yeah,
he'd have to stay.
So they have a very expensive, unhappy asset on their hands.
Exactly. He'd have to stay for another year being absolutely miserable.
And the misery of others, as we've established many times on this podcast, is what it's all about. Speaking of which, the Ken Bates Villain of the Week Award kicks off heroes and villains then for us in this part of the podcast. So nominations, please.
He's not really getting a villain nomination, but just to let you all know, I know everyone got quite invested in Councilman Ken Bates. He's
From Casper, Wyoming, we should say, for any new listeners. Yeah.
Now in the studio, actually. He's
From your Crowdy. Whose is that body?
It's Vern Troyer's body.
Yeah, rest in peace.
With his head on it. It's not his actual body, it's a cutout, to be clear. That's a bit dark, isn't it?
Yeah.
But Ken has been appointed to the Casper Housing Authority Board of Commissioners. So well done, Ken.
Ah, congratulations.
Good to see him bouncing back.
Because, of course, he missed out in the most recent election.
He didn't get
re-elected, so he's been looking for something
to
do.
I think it was election fraud, to be honest. It's rampant in America.
Stop the count and so on and so forth. Yeah, yeah. So also a nice one. Ah, congratulations, Ken. We know he's a keen listener, et cetera, et cetera. Right, actual nominations, go on.
Gareth Southgate.
Yep.
As we've just talked about it. Clueless fuckwit. What's he doing? Apart from scoring goals against Leeds United and making our lives miserable.
What does a defender know about strikers anyway? Why have they let him pick them? They should have brought in Ian Wright to select the strikers, and then it could have been Pat Bamford and Eddie Nketiah at the World Cup, as it should be. I think that's the one hope for Bamford, isn't it? Ollie Watkins will be a one-season wonder. He'll disgrace himself at these Euros, and then the World Cup is not far away, so Bamford has got to target Qatar.
In a way, it might be good because it'll keep him motivated. He's not ever going to feel like he's arrived. He's going to have that's going to be nagging away at him.
Unless it totally demoralises him.
Ah.
And he thinks that he can't what more can I possibly do?
Ah.
He's probably left it a little bit late to call Ireland as well now, hasn't he? Now he's made it very clear where he'd rather be.
Mm.
Is he any chance of it? No. Okay. Oh, okay. No. No. Fine.
Depends. I mean, our Irish listeners might be able to tell us whether they'd still be willing to take him back, like a spouse who has strayed and has come back with that suitcase tail between their legs.
He'll get in there eventually, won't he? Maybe. Unless this is Pat Bamford's best ever season, in which case his golden opportunity is gone.
Are we going to nominate Sam Johnston because he was picked out by loads of people on our feedback from our TSB Plus subscriber form?
Not letting Pablo score was his crime. And also for letting... It was particularly mean of him to let one in from Calvin. Maybe he thought Calvin was retiring or something after this game and he just thought, well, I'll bounce over me. But yeah, that was annoying.
I've just realised I confused Sam Johnston with Conor Gallagher.
Yeah, Sam Johnston
is the goalkeeper, yeah.
And he's in the England squad, compound the misery. And Dean Henderson.
After that shambles.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Dean Henderson not in the under-21s?
For legal reasons, no.
Made the senior squad. Good on him. The referee, David Coote, has been picked out by Alex for booking Calvin in a theatrical manner. We all knew he was going to get booked.
He's just stood waiting for him to stand up, wasn't he? I don't know why he didn't just write it down and tell him.
It reminds me, of a teacher. You know, in the class is all talking. I will wait for you. You carry on talking all your... I will wait for you.
If you have to stay in here through lunch, that's fine. I'm not going anywhere. Prick.
Speaking of pricks, Thomas Frank's had a nomination. John Colville, you know, from Chicago, the musical, presumably. Stephen also picked out Frank as well. Stephen's gone in with both feet here. What a thoroughly despicable individual. Speaking of teachers, tapping on his watch like a school teacher when the bell has rung.
I mean, despicable's a harsh word for someone who's just tapping his watch, but I get the feeling that's just the tip of the iceberg with Frank. He's up to all sorts.
And I think he's probably doesn't mean half the things he says and he's just having a bit of fun, but it's entirely misplaced, isn't it? Like it was with the, Leeds are scared of coming here kind of jazz and all that. Stop it.
Just the general look of the guy. I don't know. I think I talked about this last year. Just the way he dresses and his hair, and he just looks like he'd stink. Like, not necessarily of BO, like a really strong, really strong aftershave and cigar smoke and just a horrible mixture of things. Just a man you don't want near you. There are a couple of nominations for you, actually.
What have I done?
Dan, Jelly has nominated you for your blasphemous rotund comment about Bielsa. You don't fat shame God. He lived above a sweet shop for over a year, for fuck's sake. Show some compassion.
But I was trying to think of a kind word, that's all. But it's undeniably a bit portly at the minute. Or am I going to get slated for saying that now? It's true. As much as you might not want it to be true, it's true.
Well, you yourself have seen yourself, your own face on camera, and decided you need to lose 8 stone. So
it is true.
Maybe you and Bielsa can get fit together over summer.
Let's face it, though. Now we've got cameras in here. What great motivation, because they say the camera adds pounds, and I'm determined not to have too many added on. And I've been eating very, very well for about 5 weeks now. And the weight, you've got to admit, it's coming off.
We've had to put all our notes in large font now because Michael refuses to wear his glasses on screen.
It's because he can just see reflection. Is all you can see on my face. It's just the screen is opposite. And you just see a small reflected version of us all beaming back.
The shambolic vanity that underpins this podcast is finally being exposed. Yeah,
we're all very fragile, all right?
I mean, hopefully we are going to have all these shows on YouTube from next season. But no promises.
If we can hire some actors.
Yeah.
like Milli Vanilli.
Another one for Gen Z there. What do they call those lads, F2? Are we going to be called F3?
The fuck off 3.
Anyway, enough about us. Let's stop talking about us because I don't like it. Nominations, who else have we got?
You were also nominated for not asking Parag Marate about Rodrigo de Paul directly.
I mean, there's flogging a job. But Parag, he strikes me as a nice guy, but he's pretty straight-laced. And it doesn't feel to me like he's kind of in on the joke in the same way that Angus Kinnear is. Because speak to Victor.
What do you think would happen if you tickled Parag Marate?
I find that funny. That's what he'd say.
That's what he'd say.
Yeah.
I'm amused now. Hey, that's some great tickling. Let me address this.
Right, let's move on to some of the other nominations then that are not me.
COVID got a couple, just for meaning that only 9,000 of us got to watch Leeds United Premier League game this season after waiting 16 years and enduring so much shit in that time, which is a fair comment. But we'll be back soon, probably. Hopefully.
Liam has a niche nomination. The wonderful man who decided to order 6 gin and tonics at the exact moment Pablo and Berardi were leaving the field, so I missed it and had to catch up just now at home from work, bastard. And you, Michael, you've been nominated, good, for describing the season as pleasant.
It was a bit mild, wasn't it? Pleasant. It's been probably the best season since, like, 2001.
I mean, yeah, it's the highest we've been in 20 years, and you describe it as pleasant, you ungrateful bastard.
Liam has it right. He says it sounds like a Ken Bates quote about the programme sales. That's exactly as we sold 20,000 programmes.
Ken Bates.
Pleasant.
Ken Bates was always absolutely thrilled with his programme sales. It was one of the highlights of his life was that, I mean, he basically had a massive strop when he got his programme notes taken off him at Chelsea, didn't he? It was like his most treasured thing.
His platform.
He transferred them to Bolton for one game. Their chairman, I can't remember his name, but he basically...
Phil Gartside, was it at the time?
Yeah, it might have been. He basically let Ken write a huge anti-Roman Abramovich screed about how everything had been taken off him at Chelsea, because part of the deal at Chelsea was he was supposed to still be called, I think he was supposed to still be called Mr. Chairman, even though he wasn't chairman. He was going to have use of a suite and an office, and he would have a page in the programme and all this. And it was very much like his denouement at Leeds, where the one thing GFH got right was to say, okay, you're going to be life president, and then just 1, 2, 3, we're sacking you for your expenses.
Just to rattle through some of these other nominations, Ryan in Australia picked out the end of the season. Not a fan of the calendar, wants it to just keep going. Fair enough.
Jerry also nominated Time for catching up with Pablo, which is a similar thing.
Philip picked out Conor Gallagher, a guy who I just confused with Sam Johnston. Says, please don't sign him, Leeds. He's this season's Todd Cantwell. All hair, average talent.
He had a few, did Philip, actually, as well. Just not even Leeds on some of these. Spurs beating Leicester, giving fourth to Chelsea. That was a little bit annoying. And also Sammy Lee for robbing Marcel of his coat in broad daylight.
Now, there's a Scouse stereotype in there, which we're not going to indulge in, particularly now I've mentioned it, so you're aware of it. Jack did pick out Oliver Kay as well for being mean about Rodrigo in his match report. He called poor Rodrigo a four... Is he saying that Rodrigo's poor, or is he just saying poor Rodrigo as in sympathy? Anyway, he's calling him a former Spain striker, which is a bit uncalled for, if you ask me, said Jack.
But still, do subscribe to our sponsors, The Athletic.
Nathan picked out Darnell Furlong for attempting to ruin our/Pablo/Berardi's day with his constant moaning and dick-headedness. I don't even know who Darnell Furlong is.
I think he is the son of Paul Furlong, who will have been at Chelsea with Ken Bates, which is probably where he learnt to be a dick.
And finally, Liam picked out every pundit who has climaxed when using the phrase Bielsa burnout over the course of the season. Not that they deserve any additional airtime as professional wind-up merchants. There is a very specific subset of pundits who do set out to just wind people up. It's the sort of talk sport niche of this market, isn't it? Where we put out a hot take, knowing it's going to wind people up, knowing it's going to generate responses. And everyone knows that's why they're doing it, but still some people bite.
I nearly included him in propaganda this week, but Chris Boyd has been doing it because he I think he criticised us earlier in the season. Then Jeff Stelling went back to him and was saying, you were wrong though, weren't you? And he just basically said, I will never admit I am wrong, even when I am. And it's just tiresome. Can't be arsed with it.
Right, pick a villain. Is it Gareth Southgate?
Yeah, that seems fair.
Yeah, he's got everything wrong.
And having criticised how many right backs.
Not even Luke Ayling.
Not even Luke Ayling.
It's a disaster. No place for Stuart Dallas either. He's got absolutely no clue how to pick a squad.
On to the Andy Hughes Hero of the Week award. And first, a point of order about this award. There have been multiple suggestions, people saying we should rename this now in honour of Berardi as the symbol of everything that's good about Leeds United. Because we drew parallels when we spoke about Berardi, how his character and his time at Leeds, very similar to Andy Hughes in that they set out to get Leeds promoted, they've achieved it, and now they leave job done, to quote the famous midget Billy Davis. They've done their jobs. Do we want to rename the award? I'm all for it. I think for next season we rename it.
Yeah, I'm kind of open to the idea.
The Gaetano Berardi Hero of the Week.
Yeah.
Should we put it out to a vote? We can ask our TSB Plus subscribers this kind of thing, can't we? And let them decide, because we don't want to make any Gareth Southgate's level mistakes.
Okay, and if they make the wrong decision, then we can just ignore them.
That's how democracy works.
I'll work out how to do a poll, and I will stick it in one of the propaganda emails this week, and we'll get the views of our dear listeners.
I think Pablo obviously is a hero as well, but it passing from Andy Hughes to Berardi feels more of like the right lineage as opposed to Pablo, who's kind of his own thing, isn't he?
Pablo award would be for like a through ball, you know, some outrage, a nutmeg, that kind of thing, whereas all round sort of general heroics is more Berardi's
and
bag.
It's about playing at your absolute ceiling, isn't it? Again, going back to what we spoke about when we did the special one-off about Berardi. It's about pushing your limits and playing above yourself and beyond yourself and putting it all on the line. Not that Hernandez didn't, but like you say, it's a different kind of heroics, isn't it?
All those defenders in the England squad, and yet Southgate still just ignores Berardi. It's an outrage. But the reason why we didn't name an award after Robert Snodgrass, isn't it? It's the same contrast. He could do skills that Andy Hughes could not, but he doesn't get an award named after him. So, yeah, we'll sort that out with them. We'll see what people think.
Well, we'll get on to Pablo and Berardi in a second. So, first, let's do all the non-Leeds United player hero nominations. We say thanks to people in the crowd who were wearing our T-shirts inside Elland Road. Free advert. You're a walking billboard is what you are.
Billboards.
And we thank you for it as well.
They're lovely people who have generously bought clothes from us. And then it's a nice feeling that with Elland Road being open again for the first time in a year, and you look in your wardrobe to decide what you want to put on, and it's something that we made, and that was quite nice. That when the cameras on BT, whenever they cut to the crowd, which they did as often as they could, not quite as often at Southampton, where I feel like I got to know every council taxpayer in Hampshire over the course of 90 minutes. But yeah, it was nice just to see, oh, someone is wearing one of our shirts. A little bit of excitement every single time.
I mean, I wear our shirts every single day, and it's reached the point now where I feel like it's slightly embarrassing now, because occasionally from this podcast, people will say, oh, are you from the podcast? And obviously I'm wearing merch. It looks like I'm going out to be recognised. I kind of feel now, it's like, yep, here I am, TSB'd up. Oh, I have had my name printed on the back of it, mine, just as an extra thing there. But yeah, I mean, I own a ridiculous amount of Square Ball merch now, and it's all great stuff, and you can get it at thesquareball.net.
/merch. Yeah, let's nominate the Fonz as well for getting on board with the Leeds hype train, which, I mean, we spoke before, was it on the propaganda podcast about Oddy, formerly of this parish, but he's still alive. He's not dead, by the way, just not on the podcast anymore. Him successfully grooming Gaetano Berardi for a number of years and staying in touch with him after we interviewed him in 2017. Congratulations to you, Michael, for successfully grooming a number of celebrities this year. First, it was Curtis Stigers, and now you're pals with Max Winkler, which in turn means that Max's dad, Henry Winkler, a.k.a. the Fonz, was pictured on socials and tweeting at you wearing a Leeds scarf. Would have been better if it was our merch, but, you know, maybe next time.
I like the fact it was one of the hooky Leeds scarves that you get from a stall outside the ground. I think it's a nice touch that it's like a... It shows that it's not the club that's done it. I think that's the nice thing, because all these players...
Was it a Jamie Bamford scarf?
all these players getting like the, and Bon Jovi getting his extremely rare zip hoodie with the training from the training gear range. That shows they've been sent it. This has been brought by a Leeds fan to him. So I think actually it's Jessica Barden probably who needs the credit for this one. So well done. And also well done to the Fonz for having one of the maddest living rooms I've ever seen, because the chair he's on looks like a big plant and it's great.
BT got a mention as well for actually showing the players after the game instead of ramming as many adverts in as possible.
That was nice, although watching it, I did forget that we were watching a broadcast for the general public.
And not LUTV.
And not LUTV, because when it went off, I was like, fuck's sake, he's not even finished yet. I want to see, just do like an hour with the players at the pitch side and stuff.
The alternative is Chris fucking Sutton.
Well, exactly. Just show the test card, if that still exists.
Right, on to the Leeds United-based nominations. Plenty in there. So should we save the best to last?
Alioski, you mean?
Exactly. No, let's start with Stuart Dallas for all his awards that he's won this year, this season. He's been brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. He's my player of the season. Let's do an end-of-season awards run-through on one of our podcasts. We'll do that. But spoiler alert, Stuart Dallas is my player of the season.
Okay, so that's that episode done anyway. Alioski did get a nomination for the fact that West Brom is looking like his last game, and he's epitomised what Bielsa's Leeds is all about. So that one came from Nathan. So it's weird that he's not been announced yet what is actually happening with him, but we all are assuming that was his last game. But I guess the contract is still there for him to sign if he wants.
The contract's on the table till June the 30th.
Well, that's it. And Victor Orta, when he was making his speeches from the stage at the awards, he said goodbye to Berardi in Italian and goodbye to Pablo in Spanish. And then in English, he gave a message to...
What a show-off.
I know. He gave a message to Alioski saying that he was also complaining right at the start. He seemed to have a little dig at the fact that on the Amazon documentaries, even though he's speaking English, they put subtitles underneath him. He's like, I hope you can understand me even without the words underneath my face to tell you what I'm saying. But his message to Alioski was along the lines of, you were my first signing here. We've been through loads together. I will never forget you, whatever you decide to do. And he kind of put a lot of heavy emphasis and repeating it on, you know, wherever you go, whatever you decide to do,
I will be right there. We're waiting for you.
And there was a big kind of...
Another one for the kids.
I think he was trying to tug on the heartstrings and being like, look around you. Do you want to leave this? And then it got...
So accept that $5,000 a week.
Yeah. And then it got mixed up with Stuart Dallas later on when he was looking around for him, because he was wanting to say goodbye to Berardi and Pablo Hernandez. And then he was like, oh, and Alioski. But then I think that was, as I mentioned before, it was in case Alioski might be leaving. He didn't want to leave him out because Stuart Dallas is very nice and also was pissed out of his mind. So I don't think he would have been far away. He was like, yeah, you're my best mate. And you're leaving, and I want him. Alioski's like, I'm not going. I haven't decided yet. Yeah, you'll go. They all go.
Calvin's been nominated by Nathan. His best attempt to avoid Gareth Southgate's terrible football this summer, sadly in vain. It looks like he's going to be fit enough to make the Euros, and he's there in that provisional squad. So let's just hope he doesn't come back too damaged, and his footballing sensibilities remain as good as they were before the break. Apart from the last minute reckless tackle when the red mist descended and he lost his head.
Do you think one night during the training, Calvin will sneak into Gareth Southgate's hotel room and leave on his pillow the head of the horse that hurt Michaela Bamford in the island, the beloved of Patrick, who is hopefully recovering.
Should have nominated horses as villains, actually.
It's true, yeah. I mean, it's who knows what kind of week Bamford had with them, with all that going on. But so twin revenge. Take that horse's head and chuck it in Gareth Southgate's sleeping quarters.
Bamford does get a nomination, actually. Ryan from Australia, Lord Patrick Bamford, showing all the doubters, my dad included, that our fearless number nine does have what it takes for the Premier League, finishing the season in the top five leading goal scorers in the league.
And before you piss your knickers about us saying Lord Patrick Bamford, he is now officially a lord because somebody's bought him a lordship where you can get those gifts. It's like, you know, 30 quid to buy a little patch of land in Scotland, isn't it, normally a Scottish estate, and then you can confer lordship upon the receiver of the gift, and he now has that, so he is officially a lord, just like his multi-billionaire uncle.
I've always been quite but since he's started doing the Pat Bamford show, been quite reassured by the way that Jermaine Beckford takes the piss out of him for being a posh Tory as well, and he seems to take it in good spirit. So it was always Always the gentle teasing, wasn't it?
And it's only a bit of fun, isn't it? It's only a bit of fun, right? And there are multiple nominations. Liam, Philip, Andy, all, that's different people, by the way.
I feel like you just kept saying Liam and Philip then over and over again.
I'm broken, like a skipping CD. All nominating various people around the club, the hierarchy, just the general, the entity that is Leeds United for a brilliant, brilliant season.
There was a specific nomination for Rafinha as well, although it's essentially for stealing a flag is what he's being nominated for. When Eric nominated him for trading his top for the Brazil flag, that they which supporters group is it?
Ghoul, yeah.
They don't have any more, do they? I assume they got it back. He wanted it to run around the pitch for a bit.
Ghoul, very reminiscent of the coast there at Rio.
It's got a port, hasn't it?
It's got some seaside, hasn't it? Surely a beach.
The favelas of East Yorkshire.
Well, the favelas of East Yorkshire are probably quite accurate, to be perfectly honest. I think that's all our nominations, apart from Pablo and Berardi. Now, Berardi won the Hero of the Week last week. So this week, does it have to go to El Mago?
Yeah, they can have one each. No point in sharing these things, is there? Yeah.
On that happy note, yeah. We spoke at length about Pablo on the Pablo and Berardi special. So if you haven't yet listened to that, I've listened to it. It might bring a little tear to your eye, but he's been brilliant. He's symbolised everything that's been good so far about the Bielsa era, even though it hasn't finished exactly how we might want it to. And he might have sprinkled a little bit more magic dust on the Premier League. He is a bona fide legend and a hero, and we will remember him forever.
Elliot pointed out that when we've seen Hernandez cry before, it's generally been because there's something to cry about in a football sense. Whereas this, he's saying it's almost, this shows that it was an emotional thing, was this? It wasn't just, I failed professionally, or something brilliant has happened professionally and it's made me so happy I'm crying. This was, I'm going, and Christ, which is, I think, how everyone felt. The shot of him in the stand,
that killed me.
It was the one of, it's because he's by himself as well. Yeah. It felt like he should have been surrounded by people hugging him.
As we said on the match ball, we were all sat in here facing the screen, probably with metaphorical blinkers on, thinking, can't look sideways, because if I look at these guys and one of them's got tears in their eyes, I'm going to go. Because I was right on the edge of it. It just, I don't know. It's funny, isn't it, what this game does to you? But brilliant in equal measure. Pablo Hernandez, then. The final Andy Hughes Hero of the Week Award. Certainly of this season, maybe of all time, because maybe the trophy passes on into different hands next season. And I think that wraps it up, doesn't it, for the podcasts for this season. That's not to say that we're not going to come back and do more stuff. We are. We're going to have a week off next week and then come back and flip over to the Euro Ball. Well, we'll laugh at whatever Gianni's up to, provided he hasn't gone there, and keep tabs on Clicky and Cocky and not Patrick Bamford.
TSB Plus subscribers, they do get a podcast. We've got one in the bank for them, haven't we? So, yeah. You know, subscribe to that. If you miss us so much, if you can't bear us off a week without us.
You know something massive is going to happen just when we're clocking off for the week, don't we? And I'm stuck in a lodge somewhere in, I think we're going out over towards Lincolnshire.
You exotic bastard.
That's what it's all about. So yeah, thanks for listening across this season. We really appreciate it, and hope you've appreciated the shite that we've waffled across the last 9-10 months. And there'll be more of it to come. Don't you worry about that. We're not done yet. We're all in on this now. And we'll sign off there then. Thank you for listening across the year. We'll be back after our little break with more. And don't forget to check out the Phil Hayes Show this week as well with Victor Orta. Should be an absolute treat. What a hell of a way to sign off for the season as well. We look forward to it. We'll speak to you then.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.